The United States' longest war is officially over, with the last flight out of Afghanistan yesterday. That's despite some 200 Americans still left behind and an untold number of Afghan nationals. On the way out, U.S. troops said they disabled 27 Humvees and 73 aircraft. This all prompted members of the Taliban to celebrate with gunfire in the streets. Joining us is Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh of the MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Scott.
Now, the president speaks later today. What do you expect he might say?
Well, there's a speech I wish he would give, and the speech he is likely or even has to give, the one he will likely give, will be an attempt to answer critics for the dramatic and tragic scenes of the past week, including, I would think, an explanation for why the U.S. left when it did, why it had that timetable. But personally, I think that misses larger, more important questions. This is a fraught moment in American history, and I think it should be one devoted to reflection. How did we get here, this terrible place? How do we avoid this the next time? And in some ways, there's no better person than Joe Biden to address that. He served 8 years in the Obama administration when the war was expanded, sometimes contrary to his advice. And so he's been there and he's carried water for it. And now he's doing what no one else had the stomach for, precisely because officials didn't want to have to face what he's facing now. And so I think he's uniquely qualified, it seems to me, to address the broader questions and dangers on this day following America's last official day in Afghanistan.
Well, allow me to, I guess, put your question back to you. We're 20 years on, we're looking back on America's longest war. What more can you say about how we got here?
Yeah, you know, I think there are a lot of lessons, lots of lessons, big and small. You know, some of them are about the importance of clear objectives and sticking to an objective rather than constantly changing it. Other lessons about corruption or even the role, you know, what can foreign militaries do in the rebuilding of nations. But for me, I am struck by the deep-seated tendency of wars to entrap presidents and the Pentagon. Now, it happens to U.S. presidents, regardless of party, when they start or inherit a major war. The very second the U.S. is in a major war, a president is forced to build up and keep political support for the war, because if the war goes badly, things go badly for them. And so no general wants to retire as the person in charge during a defeat. So everyone paints a pretty face on it, making it seem like it's going better than it really is, and passes it on to the next person. And when that happens and that takes hold, it cannot end well.
Yeah, yeah, and we there are Afghanistan books coming out now, as you know, and one of them goes into the inside story of how so many foreign service officers, intelligence officers, and military officials quietly were saying over the 20 years, this isn't going well, we're not sure who the enemies are, and yet, as you say, outwardly, they have to describe it as winning. Let me ask you about...
Yes.
Oh,
sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say, you know, I mean, part of this, you know, you see how it's rational. You see why it makes sense for that person to do that in that moment. But when every person does that for rational reasons, it adds up over 20 years to be a disaster, because no one tells the truth about what's really going on. And that's and then you're caught, and then no one wants to pay the price of getting out. And then, of course, we see what that price is in the pictures coming from Afghanistan this week.
Yeah, and one measure of the price is more than 2,440 American service members killed in Afghanistan. That's not including 13 troops last week during the evacuation, more than 20,000 injured, and of course, tens of thousands of Afghan civilians killed. Your thoughts on the human cost as you watched American forces leave?
Well, I think it's very emotional for everyone, right? Particularly people who served in Afghanistan. People who have friends there, people who devoted a good chunk of their lives to a mission, I can see how this would be very emotionally powerful. But it's the job of policymakers to say, and the job of senior Pentagon officials to say, what's our objective? Are we meeting it? What are the odds? We are going to be successful. How much we're willing to pay? And those are the questions no one ever wants to answer. And if you don't answer those questions, then you get a war that's 20 years long and $2 trillion. And then the moment, and I mean the moment, we announce we're about to leave, the whole thing collapses. And so what does that tell you? It tells me that after 20 years and $2 trillion, spending another 20 years and $2 trillion was going to get you the same result. And yes, getting war out of wars is ugly. And yes, I bet there were mistakes made, and we should investigate those mistakes and try to improve our practices. But this was never going to be a pretty thing. And it's a terrible cause for all concerned. And, I admire the people who are willing to say that up front and rather than hide behind criticisms, you know, that really aren't heartfelt. I mean, I'm sure some people are critical, you know, feel strongly about their criticisms, but either you want to get out or you want to stay in. And that's fundamentally the decision has to be made.
Now, I want to talk to you about American strategy and play a little bit of audio for this from 20 years ago. Just after 9/11 in October, President George W. Bush spoke to a joint session of Congress. Here's what he said.
We will starve terrorists of funding, turn them one against another, drive them from place to place until there is no refuge or no rest. And we will pursue nations that provide aid or safe haven to terrorism. Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Now, as I listen to that, I hear such clarity from an American president. Yet 20 years later, Kabul falls and the U.S. Special Inspector General for Afghanistan reports that the Americans struggled to develop and implement a coherent strategy. How could that happen?
Well, part of it was the strategy changed over time. So first of all, it was going to be to get bin Laden. And then it was going to be nation building, rebuild Afghanistan in an image of the U.S., or as to be a long-term global ally in that part of the world. And nation building is tough under any circumstances. It's not impossible, but it's tough, and it's certainly tough if you're doing so in the middle of a conflict and relying largely on military personnel to do it. But, you know, I got to say that. It takes me back. I remember that speech, and the words are powerful, and of course emotions were high. I was certainly very upset at that point. But that line about either you're with us or against us, that line sort of was you can walk from there directly to the war in Iraq and a refusal to acknowledge that things weren't working. And so they were pretty words, and they were clear words, but the world is a more complex place than was captured in that speech.
Yeah. And of course, the bookend president on the other end is President Biden. I want to play another piece of audio here. Here's President Biden at the White House 2 weeks ago, the day after Kabul fell to the Taliban.
I will not mislead the American people by claiming that just a little more time in Afghanistan will make all the difference. Nor will I shrink from my share of responsibility for where we are today and how we must move forward from here. I am President of the United States of America, and the buck stops with me.
The buck stops with me. What might the legacy be, you think, for President Biden? I mean, does he still have time to win the peace, as it were?
You know, honestly, I think in several months, the U.S. is going to, the headlines will be about, you know, COVID and hurricanes and whatever else is going on in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I do not expect that Americans are going to stay focused on this problem on Afghanistan for very long. There will be, we will hear of tragic stories. There will be some wonderful successes, individual successes. But basically, this is going to shrink from the American consciousness, and it's going to become a regional issue, which it is a regional issue. And I give Biden a lot of credit. That's a gutsy speech. You know, I have plenty of criticisms for him in other areas. But this is a tough call. And I know everyone wants a happy ending, even in defeat. Oh, if we had made this change or that adjustment, then everything would have worked out. You know, more guns or different guns or guns arranged in a different way with a different strategy. And the answer is no. And sadly, no. The war was costly, long, unsuccessful. And after all that money and all that time, you know, nothing was going to change that. This wasn't a question of technique. It was a question of fundamentals, and the fundamentals were not in the U.S. favor.
Yeah. And finally, I want to ask you about the I guess the geopolitical change here, you've described a lot of this is kind of regional change here, but when you look at America's political capital here, I mean, does the U.S. and its role in the world come out stronger or weaker than 20 years ago?
Yeah, great question, Scott. And I would say that remains to be determined. And you can imagine at least two pathways. One is if the U.S. pulls out of Afghanistan and gets out of other entanglements that last forever and bring no results, then maybe it can refocus its efforts, refocus them with our major allies in Europe and Asia, refocus those efforts here at home. We could come out stronger because we won't be frittering away blood and treasure on wars that don't matter. And it could go in the other direction where folks feel like they can't have confidence in us. But I think all in all, if I'm going to predict, it's going to be better than worse for having gotten out.
All right, Jim Walsh of the MIT Security Studies Program. Thanks as always.
Thank you.